you have your Bibles, if you would please turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the messages kind of have been intertwining with their hands one to the other, and maybe there's a message that we need to catch, we need to get a hold of, think it doesn't pertain to us. Well, maybe God's trying to get our attention. Genesis chapter 3, you'll find out quickly. Beginning at verse number 1, Genesis 3 and 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than a beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die." Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you for this opportunity to come to minister. Thank you for the faithful ones that are here this afternoon. We ask you, God, to allow the Holy Ghost to minister, speak to us today. Help us to hear what the Spirit has got to say to the church in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, Overcoming the Lie. Overcoming the Lie. I want to begin by saying how that starting at a very young age, many learn the art of overcoming. However, for those who don't, on the other side of the coin, so to speak, it's if we or if you in your life do not learn this art in how to overcome the many attacks or that life can bring upon you, as well as the attacks or setbacks that come with these attacks, then it will be you who will face the chance of being brought down by either the ways of this world or, as far as the spiritual realm is concerned, by the wiles of the devil, the tricks, the scams, the plots of Satan's deception. And it's you who too can be the one to face the chance of your forever becoming a pawn in the devil's hands as you, in your life, you go about being fed a lie and being deceived. See, that's why in our growing up years, we must learn to know our enemy, our adversary, and it starts as simple as learning how to overcome the results of always being made to feel like you're the underdog, an unimportant and an insignificant being. When if only you knew according to the Word of God, Psalms 139 and 14, where the Bible says that every one of us were fearfully and we were wonderfully made. What a lie. See, what a lie, because, see, you're not a pawn, but a person. You're not an underdog, but you're a part of God's creation. You were made in His image and in His likeness. See, many in their lives have experienced in their attempt to overcome what they're facing in this life that they're forced to have to suffer the ill treatment at the hands of others. For what reasons, you might say to yourself? Well, maybe because of who they are, or because of their social status, or because of their inability of being able to compete against those who feel superior in regards to others. But whatever way that you choose to look at it, not being able to overcome such assaults against you and allowing yourself to go on in your life and not having torn down the lies that you had come up against is what will, over time, will cause you to either give up, throw in the towel, or even take drastic actions and measures, which I will not take the time to mention to you today. So I ask you to consider, how is it that we are to begin to be able to overcome hearing such words as, you're no good, You're stupid. You're not going to amount to anything in this life, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And before you come to any kind of a conclusion, let me stop just to say this to you right here and now, that the only way that you can is by understanding that it is an outright lie. It is a lie. Now, I'm not just speaking to just we that are here today, but I'm speaking about the countless thousands of others who, just like us, who are and maybe who were the ones who in their lives who had to learn the means of survival by learning the art and the act of overcoming. And it is this afternoon, church, that I want to share with you, and I seek to impart to you the ability of you in your life gaining the power to be able to overcome life circumstances, as well as many situations that you'll face in the realm of the spiritual. I don't know if you know by now, but we're in a war. It's a war. It's a war that wants to destroy you. It's a war against heaven and hell. It's a war against you and your adversary. It's a war that you got to fight pretty much every day. And if you'd only seek to not just learn, but to take to heart what you hear today, this I'll say, it's not only it'll be what empowers you, but in your life, it'll be what helps to make you with your walk with God become more than a conqueror through Christ. And the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians, if you'd like to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You can learn to be more than an overcomer. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse number 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should take an advantage of us, should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see, when the devil tells you, I'm your friend, come here, buddy, just kind of walk along with me and let me just put you down and let me call you names and let me tell you what you're not and let me tell you what you're never going to be and what you're never going to become. Let me share with you and speak into your ears the lies that I have sold out people over the many, many years and told them the same thing and brought them to their utter ruin. Let me lie to you and let you just be the one to trust me because what I'm telling you is the truth. And you ought to stop and say to yourself, lest he should get an advantage of me, lest he should kind of take control of me. But you see, I'm not ignorant. He shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. And one of Satan's strongest devices in how he is our adversary, takes advantage of us is through deception, along with the assortment of his lies. And in order for us to even begin to understand his lies and how to overcome them, first we must go back. We need to go way back to the beginning where Satan's lies actually began. See, according to our scriptural text, the lie that first caused Eve and then Adam to be cast from the Garden of Eden, a lie which resulted in condemning all of humanity, a lie that has held us under the shadow and its shadow until Calvary. Unto this day, it's what has cost countless thousands of people each and every day to be the ones who are led down the garden path in the face of their, maybe even your, believing that in this life there does not remain much hope nor promise for you to one day escape. See, in the past 41 years of living my life for God, I can say how that as I sought to share this gospel message with any who would take the time to listen, and how that there had been many a time where out of the person's mouth comes the inbred lie that no doubt had been told to them or had been expressed to them, a lie. I'm telling you about a lie having been repeated over and over again, a lie that doesn't and hasn't have much, if any, hope given to us to be able to come out from under that lie. Why? It's ingrained. It's indoctrinated. A lie that over the years has been what has been salted with doubt and with question and even fear. See, you got no hope and you've got no promise. There's no escape for you, but you got to understand today, church, it's a lie. I want to tell you today, it's a lie. You have been fed it. You know what? You go through the school years, you go in your young life, and you've been fed lies. You might even have come from a dysfunctional kind of family like I had come from. And you know what? You find out that what they told you was a lie. You can sit across the table from your teacher because you're having some problems in kind of getting kind of achieving and moving forward in your grade system, and they sit there and tell you you're really going to go nowhere. But you see, if you receive that and if you believe that and ingrain it into your mind, you're going to go on throughout your life believing and not overcoming such a lie. So sitting across the table and trying to convey to those on the other side the fact of it being a lie, often what I would hear is, oh, you don't know me. I can't be saved. God won't ever be able to forgive me, and my life is so entrenched in sin that probably would burst into flames if I walked into a church. In fact, over the years, I've had many people look me into the eye and say, I'm not worthy. And no matter what I've tried to say to combat their words of hopelessness, and many have replied, I just don't believe how that in this life that there exists a ray of hope for me, a chance for me. But I want you to hear me today, church, whoever listens today, because yes, there does exist a real chance for you. There does exist a way out for you to overcome the lie. See, that's why I've often come back with the scripture that declares in Matthew 12 and verse 31. I come back to them, and in Matthew 12, 31 says, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto the men. Telling them, you know, whoever you are, no matter how bad it may look in your life, you haven't gone too far to where God and his love for you can't reach for you, to where God can be the one to give you and place back into you hope. See, if you believe there's no hope for you, then turn the page and think about this. How about believing that maybe that's just a lie? It's a lie. There's no hope for me. There's nothing I can do, preacher. I know you sit here and you guys are all lily white and everybody's happy and clappy and nothing ever goes wrong in your life. No, that's a lie too. But don't believe the lie that there's no hope. Believe the lie. Believe the fact that it is a lie. You see, ever since the fall in the garden, Satan has done his best to propagate his lies. As the serpent lied to Eve, to this day, Satan is one who feeds into the minds of humanity. Not just one lie, but countless lies. Lies that over the years have been would have stopped people. Hear me today. Stop people from believing that one day if they would just choose to make the right decisions in their lives, that they can make heaven one day their home. But no, not them, no. No, no, not you. Why? Why? Because you're no good, but that's a lie. So this afternoon, I want you to know that the devil's biggest lie is to live for God, is to miss real living. And many a soul has become victims and have fallen prey to the any number of the world's addictions and vices. Instead of their seeking as well as searching out the innumerable riches found within, they're living their life for God. I've gone down that trail. They've gone so far to the place where without the merciful hand of God being what intervenes and what reaches out to them, and his is God's bid to save you, then there literally would not be any hope, nor chance, nor opportunity for you to be able to escape. If God didn't love you, for God so loved the world that he gave. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. But you know what we find out, as I've already led to, is right from a young age, we're taught by our peers how that drinking and drugs, etc., you know, is that's what's going to help you. It's the only way really to gain a good rapport, as being a person others want to hang out with. But failing, of course, to share with you the results of your becoming involved in any of these vices, to where sooner or later you become addicted. You become addicted to drugs, to the alcohol, to any of the other controlling substances that your constantly being offered. How many are they, I want to know today, that would stop to tell you the countless broken homes and the shattered lives, the abandoned children and families? And who is it that stops to warn you about the possibility of your ending up in prison and paying the price for what your addiction had caused you to do? Who would be the one to tell you about the destruction of the fabric of the family? And what about the unprecedented statistics of a result of one becoming addicted and once in the clutches of the lie? Having been sold to you, then comes the next lie. You're not going to be able to rise from your place of ruin. No, you're in for the long haul. Is that what you've been told? Maybe. Well, I want you to hear this preacher today. That, my friends, is nothing other than a big, fat lie. God wants you to be a victor and not a victim. God never meant for one of us to fall, to fail, to be cast aside. There might be a devil's yard sale, but I want to tell you today, wherever you are in your life, or maybe you had fallen into your life, and today we look at a people among us that have repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, or filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you today, I believe when God gave me this message, that he's still coming to you to tell you, be careful of the lie. Don't be fall prey to a lie. Oh, I'm not going to make it to the end. I don't have the strength to do that. Yes, you do. God will give you the ability. God will give you the strength. Don't tell me that you don't have the opportunity to overcome that lie, to overcome it when the devil comes to you in the darkness of your room, ladies and gentlemen, and he starts to speak to you. Oh, yes, he has. And what he has told you and how bad he wants to make you feel. But you got to shake yourself, flick that light on and say, that is a lie. Jeremiah 29:14, very familiar portion of scripture. Many of us know it today. Jeremiah 29:14, the Bible says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. How about 2 Peter? You want to flip over there real quickly? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, another lie that the Christian world has been told, and many sadly have fallen prey to, its declaration and how that they, or maybe even you, can continue to live in sin while believing the lie that says, oh yeah, well, don't worry about that. You know, you're going to get by. Well, you know, it's all about grace, and it's about the love of God that will overlook your sin and allow you to get by. But the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, and the first portion of verse number 20, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 20, the Bible says, how that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. How about the book of James, all the way to the New Testament? The book of James, chapter 4. Verse number 17. Says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and who does it not, to him it's sin. I know what I should do. I know what I need to be doing. But it's okay. It's grace. It's love. He's going to overlook it. No, he's not. Book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse number 21. It tells us how that Jesus came to save us from our sins and not in our sins. And see, for this reason, for anyone to foolishly believe that they or maybe you can sin and get by is to forget that you have an adversary. I want you to listen to me today, church. People every day are being led down that garden path with this lie. And they're not stopping and taking the time to look up what the Bible actually says. And because of this, it's what's going to cause thousands of innocent lives to end up lost for all eternity. See, Jesus Christ himself declares in the book of John, chapter 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse number 46. He says, I'm come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. See, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth him, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the only way anyone is going to be able to overcome lies, the lies that have been told to them for generation, is to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. The Bereans in Acts 17 and 11, you'll find where Wright says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I'm talking to you about overcoming the lie. There's one way, one truth, one life, one God, one door, one opportunity, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So here we are, church. I believe that we're literally living in the last days, and among us are people who have fallen prey to the lies of our adversary, their adversary, those who have closed their eyes and have stopped their ears and the chance that God would open their eyes and would unstop their ears in order for them and their lives to also be able to overcome the lie that for centuries has been what has held them and maybe even some of you among us bound. So what does the writer of the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14 and 15 say? It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land, and now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. See, I want you to know that it's hard for some to overcome the lie. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because they have been fed a lie from generation to generation. People will tell you, listen to me, if you talk to them, my grandpa and my grandma, they believed it. I mean, both my mom and my dad, they believed it, and I've never stopped long enough in my life to see for myself if what I have been taught is a lie. Is it a lie or is it not a lie? But I want to tell you today, the truth is convicting. Believing that what you know and have been taught is a lie, it's hard for some to comprehend. And for this reason, many in their lives simply don't want to know the truth. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to tell me that what I'm doing, how I'm living, is wrong. Saying, you know, I'll have to change. I'll have to think about stopping some of what I'm doing. I'll have to rethink my position with God. As they come to the conclusion that in their lives they have been overcome with a lie, instead of their learning how to overcome this lie with the truth. It's got you in its clutches. You've closed your eyes. You've plugged your ears. You've shut your mind off to any kind of a understanding of a concept that what you've been taught is a lie. The book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul writes this, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Since Jesus Christ, God become flesh, whose coming and whose sacrifice is what opened up for us the opportunity being the ones to overcome the lie. John writes the words in John 8:32, right behind me, where Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll make you free. Now, I wonder today if anybody's hearing what the Spirit's saying to the church. I mean, I'm talking to you about having not just the ability, but the power in Jesus' name to overcome the lie that for many has what kept them in the dark. It's kept them covered, eyes shut. Well, people figure, well, I'll just live this way and I'll be okay. Is that what the Bible says? You know what? It's not going to be what we think or maybe what we've been taught. And check it out. Look in there. Be like the Bereans. Is this what the Bible says? Is this how I'm supposed to live? Is this what I'm going to get away with? Is that what's going to happen? Or is it a lie? Is it a lie? So going back to the onset of this message, thought, believing, or even conceding to the fact that there remains no hope nor promise for you is a lie from the devil. John the Revelator, he writes in the book of Revelation 22 and 17, Revelation 22, 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely." How about the apostolic message in Acts 2:39, where it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So I wonder this afternoon if the time has come for you to be the one to overcome the lie. I ask you this, are you ready to stand up and to declare the truth? For maybe the time for you, for all of us really, is to ensure that we are, that we truly are the ones who have overcome the lie. The lie that's that you have not maybe overcome, it's time for it to be overcome. What does the Apostle Paul write in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, the second portion of verse number 12? He writes, "I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I know in whom I have believed. I know. You see, I don't want to walk around thinking I'm saved. Am I saved? I know I'm saved. How do you know I'm saved? Because according to the Word of God, according to the Scriptures, the Gospel, and according to Acts 2:38 and 2:39, I know that I'm saved. I can prove it. I can go through this Bible and flip from book to book, and I can tell you today that I don't think I'm saved. I'm like Paul. I know in whom I have believed. And what he's going to commit against him, against what day? Listen to me, church. You know what's going to, the Bible talks about, except there comes a falling away first. You know what? The time's going to be shortened because maybe the very elect are going to be deceived. What's the Bible talking about? A lie. They're talking about a lie. Drop your guard. Throw the standards out the window. Live any way you want. It's going to be greasy and fine. Yeah, until the grease catches on fire, honey. It's a lie. That's a lie. I've got to keep aligned. I've got to keep purpose. I'm going to hang on to that promise. I've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and look up, because it's my redemption that draws nigh. It was the Apostle Paul who also writes in the book of Galatians, if you want to turn there. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 6. This is Paul. He says, "I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, that there would be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I am now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed." Paul writes, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, I guarantee it, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." See, even in the days of the apostles, the early church, the people were being taken in with a lie. Right from the beginning, with a lie. They were being turned their ears and their hearts away from the truth, and for the sake of their fleshly desires and their wants, together they embraced and they have held on to, chose to hang on to a lie. One of the scriptures that always has really boggled my mind is where Paul writes, "And Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." He went back. He had it all. He had salvation. He had the truth. How many in the last 41 plus years can I tell you people have turned and walked back? They believed a lie. They turned their eyes away from truth and they took a hold of a lie. Maybe the devil was telling them too many times how worthless they were and don't worry about coming to church and worry about repenting. It's not going to work for you anyhow. That's a lie. You see, that's a lie that you have got to overcome. To the lie which if you never seek to overcome, you'll forever rest in the hands of those who stand there and tell you that what they're telling you is the truth. I've had people look as sincere as you can be, look you right in the face and lie to you. You know, that's a lie. You're not telling me the truth. And for anyone to say to you that you can and you'll never escape from this lie, the Apostle Paul declares the hope that lies within us. It's found in 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. This is what Paul writes. He says, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." What? You overcome the lie, and it has made you free. You were. You see, you were. How many times, friend, I want to tell you, I've been down this road before where the devil is just beating my brains half to death and tells me all kinds of lies. And you know, if you stop and you just pay attention to him and you engage in that discourse that's going on into your head, you're going to start believing that lie. But what you got to say is, no, that's not me. That was me. That isn't me. I've come beyond that. I'm a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God, sanctified, set free. I got my foot on that rock. My mind's made up. I'm walking forward in truth. I'm not overcoming that lie. I have overcome that lie. John chapter 5, verse 39, very familiar portion of Scripture. You ever get a Bible from this preacher, it's going to be in your Bible. Jesus, through the words of John, he declares, "Search the Scriptures. Search them. For in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me." How about John chapter 10? You want to flip over there? It's just five chapters later. John chapter 10. Jesus, through the words of John, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. See, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." See, this is and will be the testimony of those who were able to overcome the lie, having discovered the riches of the Word of God. It's a word that was filled with all that is filled with all the promises that are offered to every one of us. Instead of being overcome by the lie and being deceived into thinking or believing that what they or you have been taught is the truth, when you know it's not. That's only until the day that you are maybe are called to give an account of our lives. That's where the real truth's going to come to be. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, he says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then I'll profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.'" Meaning the people Jesus will say this to are the ones who were overcome by the lie and who believed the lie and who never took the time to discover for themselves that what they had been taught was a lie, by not looking for ways for them to overcome that lie. I got to look in here. I got to see what the Bible says. I want to find out the truth. I don't want to walk in the lie. You see, if you've ever been overcome by that lie, or if you have ever been toying with the idea of turning away from the truth that has come under attack from every side, if you want to remain an overcomer, and if you want to stop yourself from being overcome by that lie that holds countless hostage, then it's going to have to be you who acquires a love of the truth, that you might be saved. Or hear me now, according to the words the Apostle Paul writes, if you want to turn there, the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I have got to have a love for the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 10, it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who had believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but when God's day of judgment is called and each of us stands before him to give an account, I don't want to have the testimony that I was overcome by the lie. I want a testimony that declares in my life, thanks to God, instead I overcame the lie and I stood with him in the truth. See, if you're here today and you're the one who has overcome that lie, or you're able to combat the lies when they come against you, you know what you do? You can say two words, Jesus' name, or I rebuke you in Jesus' name. That's not true. That's not me. That's not who I am. Don't even go there. You know, I had people, oh, remember, you used to drink. You used to do this. You used to be the party. You used to, yeah, I used to. That's what I was. That's not who I am. You see, and I'm not that no more. Well, yeah, you are. Like, I had people, I talk to them oftentimes. They go to these different programs that keep them bound and say, my name is John. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Sally. I'm a drug addict. Well, I'm not one of those. I've been set free. I've been redeemed. But if you're one that who has overcome the lie and your life rests in the crucified, if today the blood of Jesus has cleansed your mind and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue, and you're walking, a walking testimony, living a life of the redeemed, then today it's you who should be able to ready to stand up and to declare. Let's stand together. Stand up to declare what? To declare this, that Jesus made me an overcomer when he died on Calvary. Today, my life stands firmly upon none other than the rock called Christ. But maybe if this doesn't describe you, then maybe the day has come in your life where you right here and now, you need to decide if you want to be the one that's overcome by the lie, or you want to be the one who overcomes that lie. You see, today, as I bring this to a close and I open this altar, I want you to know the choice is yours. You can walk out of here and say, I'm no good. I'm trash. I'm trailer trash. I'm nothing. I'm off scour. I've done this. I've made so many mistakes in my life. And I'm going to accept that lie. You're going to say, you know what? No, today I'm going to make a turn. Today I'm going to stand established and straightforward. And I'm going to ask God to forgive me. And I'm going to mean that I'm sorry. And I'm going to ask God to either refill me, renew me, re-strengthen me. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to overcome that lie. I'm going to walk out of here 10 feet tall, shoulders square, head straight up, walking out of here knowing that I am somebody in the hand of God. In the eyes of God, I am a child of the redeemed. I wonder today if I have any people that are here today that want to declare that testimony that I have overcome that lie, that I am that child of God. Would you come today and would you lift up your hands to your Savior? Thank him today. Come on.
Turn me around.
Step out from where you are. Make that declaration.
I thank the Master. I thank the Savior.
What's your